The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live from 1:50pm with Sam Turner, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Beverley, Lingfield and Nottingham on Tuesday afternoon. We also have a twilight card from Newcastle, so four meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Mark. Good afternoon.
Are you well, sir?
I am very well, thank you very much. Yeah, looking forward to a decent week. Builds up to the weekend, some terrific action, and quite enjoyed the fare from Ayr.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah. it was pretty good at Ayr, and we're going to look at the Monday jury to start with. And the first question there surrounds Ayr. So, what did you make of the Ayr Gold Cup?
Without after timing, it was a very pleasing race personally, but. It was a bit of a non-event, wasn't it, to be honest? Unfortunately, anything that was drawn sort of 1 to 15 had little or no chance of winning either of those races on Saturday. And that was a bit of a shame. But tremendous performance from David O'Mara to mop up a big sprint at the Curragh the previous weekend and then obviously land the main race on Saturday with Louis the Pious. Dropped in trip, visor first time. That's an angle that the O'Mara team like to employ, the headgear on those sprinters. And he's done a remarkable job sweetening up Louis the Pious. He won a big race at Ascot a year or so back. And he's won another big handicap with him here. He looked... you know, slightly ungenuine midway through his career, to be honest, and he sweetened him up brilliantly and he's turned him round.
Yeah, continues a good season for David O'Mara and James Doyle, of course, both of them doing exceptionally well this year.
Yeah.
With the draw being such an influence, does that take away from the race a little bit?
It does, really. I think you can afford anything that was drawn low, another chance. You can just scratch it from the race card and from their dance cards, really, and give them another chance. You might get a little bit of extra value about horses that you saw run well over on the far side, but they just could never land a blow, really.
Yeah.
And that said, though, although he was on the Golden Highway up at the Standside Rail, but I think if it had been three or four horse widths off that, I still think he'd have won him. I mean, the way he quickened was very impressive.
Yep, impressive winner there then. Which other horses caught your eye at Ayr's Western meeting or elsewhere?
Not so much at Ayr, but obviously Mecca's Angel's a filly that we've seen plenty of this year, so she's hardly unexposed or under the radar. But doing the speed figures as I do, she's clocked the fastest speed figure that I've got for any horse from Newbury on Saturday. She was electrifying. I thought she might be a little bit vulnerable bouncing off the back of that Doncaster performance, which was such a good effort. But I was speaking to Paul Mulrennan about her recently, and you know, he's just in love with the filly. He thinks she's a cracking little filly, and he's absolutely right. She's got loads of speed. She stays strongly at that trip as well. She copes with any ground. I'd like to see her go for the Abbey, but I don't know if connections will go there this year with her.
Okay, fair enough. Impressive from Mecca's Angel then. Moving on to the third question, give us a couple against the field in the Cambridge on Saturday. Not
yeah,
the easiest of questions.
It isn't, and I haven't had a good look at the race yet, to be honest. Most of my sort of studying was saved for the weekend, and I haven't managed to get my teeth into the race yet, but I think there's one or two that sort of catch the eye. Educate is one that, you know, obviously won the race last year, so he could be slightly interesting. And Queensbury Rules, a horse that stays a mile and a quarter well, which I think is always a positive for the Cambridgeshire. William Haggers as well, good record in the race, brilliant at laying out horses for big handicaps. He could be an interesting one. But most of the form study will be condensed into the next couple of days, probably, for that.
Yeah, it's one to keep an eye on close to the weekend, I imagine. Can you see anything beating Tiggy Wiggy in the Cheveley Park?
She certainly holds rock-solid credentials. If the ground changed markedly, 6 furlongs on testing ground might worry, but it's supposed to be a fairly dry week. It was a little on the easy side, probably just on the soft side of good on Saturday, according to my going allowances, but I don't think that'll hold any qualms for her. And I just think she's a bit of a freak, to be honest. Obviously, cursory glance has come out of the race at York and won at the Curragh, won a top-class race at the Curragh, so the form's already been franked.
Yeah, she was very impressive, both at York and Newbury. So she's leading contender in the Cheveley Park. Now the dust has settled, who do you fancy for the Ark on Sunday week?
Yeah, well, there's really conflicting views about how Trev ran. In the preview of my her trial, I thought she ran an absolute blinder. I was expecting to see her act like a crab on the ground again. I mean, at Ascot, she absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
Came back with all sorts of alarming tales about her physical condition after Royal Ascot. You know, she was like a crab on it, to be honest. But I thought she ran a really nice trial. She wasn't wound up. She'd obviously had an interrupted preparation. She wasn't 100%. The ground wasn't soft enough. I think if they get some rain in Paris, I still think she is a live contender. Obviously, Ektot, I was impressed with the way that he quickened. And I think Kingston Hill, if he turns up and there's a genuine bit of cut in the ground over a mile and a half, he'd be interesting as well. But it all depends on the draw. I think the draw will have a major effect.
Yeah, it usually does. What do you make of Tegruder? You didn't really mention her in there, but the three-year-old allowance for the fillies, we've seen that for, prove dividends.
Yeah, I tend to say that she probably wasn't 100% at York, but probably still 95%. She got beat by a good filly. They pulled well clear of Tassaday, who didn't run too badly at the weekend. So, you know, I wouldn't say that was a shocking run at York. It was only a price that suggested to everybody that it was an absolute abomination of a run. So I would give her perhaps another chance. But, again, I think just three-year-old fillies in the race, I'd just be a little concerned that there might be something that a bit more streetwise.
Okay. Final question of this week's Monday Jury. What did you think of the Mirrors Wigmore Hall front page picture?
Didn't like it. Thought it was poor journalism at best. I felt sorry for David Yates, who's sort of my compatriot at the Daily Mirror. I thought it was a pretty shocking piece of sensationalism, to be honest. It'd be hypocritical of me to suggest that they're the only paper that have done that. Obviously, the Mail have been responsible for printing one or two stories after the Grand National, etc., when horses have died. But that just looked a very cynical. They waited till the Saturday. They put it on the front page. Funny enough, they didn't put any cross references to the 8-page or 6-page pullout that they did with all the bookmakers' sponsorship on their racing pullout. I just thought it was pretty distasteful. I felt very sorry for the connections, felt very sorry for the lad and the lass that looked after Wigmore Hall. And I just thought there was absolutely no need for it. Everybody knows what goes on in racing. The vet was doing what he could do to humanely end his life. And it was a very, very sad episode and a sad chapter to an otherwise brilliant career.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, felt like a bit of a cheap shot. Didn't need to be done. It was just sensational.
Well, that was it, really. I mean, like I say, I work for a publication that have highlighted deaths in horse racing before, so it'd be hypocritical of me to absolutely slaughter the Daily Mirror, but I did think it was pretty poor, and I really felt for Dave Yates because he's been put in an invidious position by probably an over-exuberant news editor.
Yeah. OK, well, we'll leave that there and we'll move on to Tuesday's racing next then, and Sam's picked out three races. We'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Tuesday. Sam's picked out two races for us at Nottingham and one at Beverley. So we'll start at Nottingham in their 3 o'clock. And this is a Class 6 handicap over the extended mile for three-year-olds and 14 of them in the lineup. Probably going to be something like 4-1 the field here. So quite a competitive race to start with.
Yeah, it looks a warm heat, doesn't it, Mark? You know, difficult race to probably unravel a little bit. But I quite like Dutch Lady. I mean, John Holt did very well with Number Theory through his career, so he can certainly train at a reasonable horse when he's got one. And Paddy Mather's obviously landed the big sales race recently, so he should be full of confidence. And Dutch Lady ran well at Thirsk last time out behind Disclosure, who's a horse that saved its best efforts, Les Ayres Charge for Thirsk. Dutch Lady's got one good run here at Nottingham early on in the year in the campaign where she clocked a good speed figure, and I think that gives her a leading chance off a current mark, to be honest. I looked up and down this race and didn't see a lot of potential improvers, perhaps, even though they are all three-year-olds. And I felt Dutch Lady was still, you know, reasonably feasibly handicapped, and off a nice middle draw under conditions she's run well at before, I think she offers the best proposition in this race.
OK. Anything you're particularly worried about in the lineup?
Well, there's one or two that could easily spark back into form. I mean, DeGini's also a horse that showed a fair bit through its three-year-old career, but has disappointed a number of times. But you get the feeling that if the Hannon team could just unlock that bit of potential there is there, that He'd more than well handicapped at the moment. But I didn't see a lot in the race that I was particularly perturbed about. I suppose Norfolk Sound, who's lightly raced and unexposed, could go well for Chris Wall, but he's got an inexperienced rider, and that would sway me perhaps to Dutch Lady.
Okay. Dutch Lady then in the 3 o'clock at Nottingham. We'll start at Nottingham for their 5.05, and this is a class 5 handicap over a mile and 3/4 for 3-year-olds and older. And Ralston last down at the bottom of the weights here. I think we should start with her. She keeps hitting the crossbar, finished second on her last 6 outings. Do you question her attitude here, or what is it?
Well, I do, but there's a lot of these sort of horses that punters will say, no, I don't want to be interested in that because it's finished second on a number. And that's fair enough if you're being asked to take 6-4, 7-4. But if you're taking 4-5, 6-1 about them, one of the days she's going to knock on the door and it's going to open for her, to coin a horrible phrase. But she's a filly that often travels quite nicely through her races and doesn't always find a lot at the business end. Now, they've dispensed with the hood that she's been wearing. Cam Hardy takes over, which I think is interesting, and I'd like to see her be ridden really patiently. I was at Nottingham early on in the season when she was second, not a position that's unfamiliar to her. And Mountain Terror, who was a horse in really good form at the time, came and just picked her pocket late on. That was a bit of an aggravating and agonising defeat because I'd backed her that night. I just like this type of horse that always gives you a chance in a race. I think there's a couple of live dangers. Winter Spice is another one that is invariably on the scene. And Hurry Home Popper, I think back to Nottingham after having a couple of months off, I think he could go very well for John Mackey, who likes to have winners at the track. He's also got Halstatt in the race as well. But I'm going to give Ralston Lass another chance. I don't think she enjoyed the particularly lightning quick round and undulations of Bath last time, but she'd run very well at Foss Lass and was unlucky just to get nutted on the line that day. And hopefully she can get ahead in front today.
Okay, Ralston Lass then in the 5.05 at Nottingham, and up to Beverley we go for their 4.15, and this is a 7-furlong handicap. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and Tasmanian is interesting here. Only had the 3 starts, got off the mark last time, and do you see him improving again here?
Yeah, I do. He clocked a very good speed figure when he went at Newcastle. He's obviously a 3-year-old going the right way against one or two horses that have been around the tracks for a while. I don't think he's badly handicapped either. And Joe Fanning riding particularly well. I think he's had sort of 4 doubles, has he, in the last week to 10 days. And, you know, just a lad that has done extremely well this year. Rides Beverley well. I think if this horse gets to the front, he might be a hard one to pass.
Yeah. There's a few others in here coming into this in decent enough, Nick. The likes of Rangi Chase and so on. Any of them worry you?
Yeah, Rangi Chase is interesting. He's drawn out wide a little bit. And the Fahey team just perhaps dipped a little bit in terms of form. I think they had 6 winners from 100, their last 100 runners. So they run an awful lot of horses, and they probably had a few near misses as well. So you'd probably only take 3 or 4 more winners from those near misses to suggest that they've been back in good form.
Yeah.
You know, they're just on the... I mean, these yards come at peaks and troughs and they can't be in great form all year round. So perhaps with Tasmanian, sort of upwardly mobile horse, and now he's dropped into handicap company after that good Newcastle performance, I think he might take a bit of beating off his current mark.
Tasmanian then in the 4.15 at Beverley. Let's just have a quick summary of your selection, Sam, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, sure. 3 o'clock at Nottingham. John Holt's Dutch Lady, who's run well at the track already this year, with Paddy Mathers on board. Later in the card, in the 5.05, the mile 6 handicap, which concludes the meeting. Ralston Lass afforded one more chance for Richard Price. Then over at Beverley in their 4.15, the 7.5 furlong handicap. Number 2, Tasmanian, the recent Newcastle winner. I think he's nicely treated at the moment.
Good work. Thank you very much, Sam. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thanks very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Tuesday's racing. He'll be in the studio and he'll be joined by John Babb and Gary Capewell. They'll be live from 1:50 p.m. with Beverley, Lingfield and Nottingham in the afternoon. We also have Newcastle running into the evening, a twilight card there. So 4 meetings to come. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.